Support for this podcast comes from Social Referral from Broadbean. Social Referral is the automated and seamless workflow for employee referral. Recognize and reward employees for referring friends and connections to current jobs. Spread the good word about your employment brand and attract top talent to your business. With Social Referral, recruiters and employees can share, engage, and are rewarded instantly. Ignite your employee referral program with Social Referral from Broadbean.
There's been more of scientific discovery, more of technical advancement and material progress in your lifetime and mine than in all the ages of history.
Hi everyone, this is Matt Alder. Welcome to episode 26 of the Recruiting Future podcast. Tech recruitment is an extremely hot topic at the moment, and for this week's interview, I wanted to get a broader European perspective on the issues. My guest is Ina Bulmer, Head of HR and Talent Acquisition at Good Game Studios in Germany. Good Game Studios are currently the fastest growing employer in the gaming industry in Europe, and they have some very innovative approaches to ensuring they get the talent they want. Hi everyone, and welcome to another Recruiting Future podcast interview. My guest this morning is Ina Bulmer from Good Game Studios. Hi Ina, how are you?
Good morning, Matt. How are you?
Yes, I'm very good. It's a sunny day up in Scotland where I am today. What's the weather like in Germany?
Well, it was great until about half an hour ago. Now it starts to rain.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, hope you didn't bring the rain.
Yeah, no, it wasn't my fault, I assure you. So could you just give us a little bit of context on your background and what your role is at Good Game Studios?
Yes, be happy to do that. Well, originally I'm a computer scientist, so I studied computer science a long time ago, I must admit. And I did that, was into computer science for about 11 or 12 years. So I did programming, and in the end, I was the lead for the whole development of our small software company. But from there on, I started to go into the headhunting business. And I did that for another 12 or 13 years on a self-employed basis. So, but I still stick to the technology. So for big companies like Microsoft, Oracle, NetApp, EMC, so the storage, Dell computers. And the last 7 years I was pretty much into Dell as a headhunter still. Then I switched to the Deutsche Telekom, where I was in charge for the recruiting there. After approximately 4 years, I went to Microsoft, and there was the recruiting talent acquisition lead. That's how we call it, talent acquisition lead and human resources marketing there.
Okay.
And there, then I received a call from a headhunting agency that asked me to maybe consider Good Game Studios. Where at first I said, Good Game Studios, never heard of it, so no. But then really got to know Good Game Studios better. And yes, I ended up joining Good Game Studios at about 10 months ago now. And it was a pretty exciting time. So I moved from Munich to Hamburg, where I'm now. And now after a couple of weeks, where I was at first in charge of the talent acquisition, just like as at Microsoft, now I'm the head of human resources. So it's more or less responsible for HR and talent acquisition.
Thank you. Thanks for giving us the background there. And for listeners who might not be familiar with Good Game Studios, could you tell us a bit about, who they are and what they do?
Of course. Good Game Studios is only 6 years old, so we used to be a startup. Right now we are more than 1,200 employees, more or less 1,300 employees in 6 years only. So we're Germany's largest employer in the gaming industry. Are a gaming company who produces mobile and browser games. And actually we are Europe's fastest growing company and also the most successful in that industry.
Wow, that sounds like it's an exciting place to be then. So in terms of sort of, you know, tech recruitment, the people that you're looking for in the German market, I'm presuming, like there are in the UK and indeed in the US, there are skill shortages. What are the skill shortages like in tech in the German market, and what problems do they cause?
As a tech company who is active in the fast moving consumer market, it's really important to have the right set of skills. But as we are looking for more or less the same skills that a lot of technical companies in the technical market are looking for, of course, it's not that easy. But as we are looking for skills globally, we still have not run into problems. We're looking for the best people there, and that's more what causes us a little, I wouldn't say problem, but which really makes it a little bit difficult for us and leads us to having to think about new ideas, how to really approach those people, but even more how to really get them to relocate to Germany.
Okay, and what sort of particular strategies do you you put in place to do that, to persuade the best people to join you, and if necessary relocate? What kind of strategies and tactics have you put in place to make that work?
I think the biggest, the most important strategies that we have is that we have it, we call it like a really good recruiting cycle. So we start to do everything in-house from the very beginning. So we do not outsource anything, because we think we're very flexible and faster than compared to if we do it with other, just looking for the English word.
Recruitment agencies?
Yeah, recruiting agents or other suppliers. Thank you very much.
That's okay.
But I think the strategy is that we really know the market globally. So our sources, we have a pretty big sourcing team right now. It consists about 25 people that do nothing than sourcing the whole world. And for example, we know where all the flashers sit, or which companies have the best Unity programmers, etc. So they really know the market pretty well. And they have a great, great network. So we approach the candidates no matter if we really have a position right now, or if we have maybe 1 in 2 or 3 months time. And we try to contact them pretty early. And the people like our story. They want to become a part of our success story. So they like talking to us. And I don't tell you any secrets if I tell you that we have a really big response rate of about 60%. If we talk to people in the business networks and people that are really know that business, know that that's a big, big number, and that interest rate lies somewhere between 40% more or less. So that's really, really good. And when we approach those people, then after the first interview, when we think that that person is really a very good potential candidate, we already include our onboarding team. So after the first interview, our onboarding team gets to know the candidate and ask them questions like, would you move with your family? Do you have a family? And which kind of status in your level in your career are you right now? Would you move on your own or with your family? What's important for you? Do you have kids? What is the age of those kids, etc. So we really know after that first interview that if that candidate wants to join us, what we have to do, because it gets more and more important, especially if you look for senior people, that you don't only care for them, but for their family. And you have to make sure that the kids get a good education here in Germany, for example, and which we recommend them the appropriate school, depending on the languages that they have, depending on the age, of course. So we really take care of the candidate very, very upfront.
Okay, that's I think that's really interesting. That's obviously certainly an excellent approach. Do you think that sort of that personal touch and that focus on the family is a kind of a big motivation for you being successful in recruiting these people? I mean, what do you think the sort of key things that influence people to come and work for you would be?
I think the salary and benefits and all the I would say it's basic stuff. I mean, it has to be correct. It has to be right. The people have to get a good salary and all the benefits. But I think the most important is that they feel that they fit to our culture and that we really have that personal touch. We get so many letters from candidates that joined us, but also candidates that haven't joined us for whatever personal reason, that they really felt like they were employees from the very beginning. So they really understood that we took care of them, that we cared about them. And yes, the family is a huge part of them. For example, we have just recently hired a couple. I think it already happened 2 times. So the candidate that we had said, well, my wife or my spouse or my partner also would like to join me. And don't you have a job for him or her? And in one case, we actually had. They came from the same business. And in another case, we knew that it was a teacher. And we have a close collaboration with a school here, with an international school. And they're always looking for teachers from all over the world. We know that.
Cool. Yeah.
So then we could just, you know, then we didn't hire that partner, but we made sure that the partner had a contact to that school. So yes, I think it's a very, very big motivator. And on the same side, sometimes it happens. We have a great candidate and everything seems to fit. But then the partner says, no, I don't want to move.
Right,
because,
okay.
Yeah, for family. So I think, yes, it's one of the motivators, especially when it comes to foreign employees.
What percentage of your employees have to relocate? Is most of your hiring done outside, outside where you're based? What's the sort of split?
Right now, we have about 30% of international employees. And if you look at I just have to look at my September numbers.
Okay.
Hold on, because they're really, really interesting. To give you an idea of what we hired so far. In September, 80% of the candidates that are starting actually come from 21 different nations.
Wow.
So 80% foreign candidates, 21 different nations. And we're having 37 house searches. So we're looking for accommodations together with them. And we care for 22 work permits. So this gives you a pretty good idea of what we do, actually. And yes, that we already have a global global and international company, although we're mostly located in Hamburg.
Thank you for sharing those numbers. That's really, really interesting. Just you mentioned that you've kind of got a large team of sources, and you know, there are a lot of sort of tools and technologies and things coming onto the market to help with recruiting. What's your view on the tools that are available? Is there anything that you use that's particularly successful, or do the sources kind of rely on their own experience to find the candidates you're looking for?
Well, there are, of course, a lot of platforms where we're looking at, like projects or for arts people. Of course, we look at the art portfolios. So there are a lot of platforms that we use. But to be honest, that we rely mostly on the expertise of our sources. We train them. They use things like, of course, the normal Boolean search. They really use X-ray search to get hold of people that you don't see, that maybe don't have a very good profile in LinkedIn or business other business platforms. So we try to find them using Boolean searches and X-ray searches more or less. But the network is really important. We have a lot of internal referrals as well. We just ramped up our internal referral to about 25 to 30%. And these are really the most successful referrals that we have.
Interesting. That's definitely quite an impressive number. One of the reasons that we're talking today is that you're talking at the HR Tech World Congress in October. What are you sort of particularly looking forward to about that event? Is there anyone you want to hear from? Any ideas you're sort of interested in being discussed in Paris in October?
Yes, of course. First of all, of course, this is a very good platform to first of all discuss with other professionals, but to learn and share as well. And what I'm really interested in is looking more into people analytics, because what I will share with the others is to really look at the whole recruiting cycle and to really have an idea where to use which tool or just which technique. And for example, just to give you an example, what we're really doing right now is we're using the people analytics more or less only in the recruiting thing. So we're looking at the whole funnel, trying to find out where the gap is. For example, right now we have lots of really good interviews. So the hiring managers really like what we're delivering, but then there's a gap to the hires. So somewhere in between something seems to miss out. So that's what we look at. But also we use people analytics to have an idea or to let's say steer the candidate manager or the recruiters, because they get like a small light system. It's just like green, red, and yellow, which shows from the candidate perspective when was the candidate last touched and why maybe there wasn't a feedback of the two candidate's profile, which we forwarded to a hiring manager, maybe let's say for a week or so. So we're setting up SLAs and KPIs for us, but as well as the managers. So when should they give feedback and when should we come back to the candidate again? So a candidate turns red whenever one of those SLAs is not met.
Okay, that's really interesting. So the candidate experience is obviously a very important part of what you do.
Yes, we switched. First of all, I think for the last half year or so, we looked at, we just tried to fill the positions as fast as we could. Right now, the focus is, of course, still on recruiting and getting the right people. But we think it's more important that we get the best candidate. And I don't have to tell you, you're an expert as well. You lose candidates so quickly if you don't take care of them, if they don't feel treated respectfully. And we try to get back to them, even though maybe we might not have a new status on something, but we just keep them informed and say, well, there's not a new status, but. And they like that, because on their side, it's not about having the fastest recruiting process. It's the most transparent one and the one where you're really treated respectfully. And that's what we try to achieve.
That makes a lot of sense. So sort of finally, what's next for you guys? What are the next 12 months? What are the next 12 months look like? What's on your kind of horizon on your pipeline?
The pipeline is first to really ensure the people analytics part for all the stakeholders, for example, the hiring managers, what do they want to see, etc. And we have to do that on our own, because I haven't, maybe you do, but I haven't yet known a single recruiting tool that is perfect. So what's perfect for us is if they have a really good interface where we can do our own stuff and try to analyze. So the pipeline for the next 12 months is really to get a good steering tool, which is made by our own, for the different stakeholders, recruiters, candidate management, sourcers, and of course the management and the hiring managers. That's the one thing. But also, apart from recruiting, we're going to look at the retention, because now we're in a critical phase. We're 6 years old, and if we don't have good opportunities for our employees, of course, then they might leave. So we don't want to get into the status where that happens. So upfront, as we do in the recruiting as well, we try to find good ideas to really have a good retention system.
Ina, thank you very much for talking to me.
You're welcome, Matt.
My thanks to Ina Borma. My thanks also to the guys at HR Tech World Congress for their help in arranging the interview. Their event is taking place in Paris in October, and you can find out more at hrtechcongress.com. For show notes and past episodes of this podcast, please go to www.rfpodcast.com. You can also subscribe to the mailing list there and find out more about me on the Work with Matt Alder page. You can, of course, subscribe to the podcast itself on iTunes and also on Stitcher. Thanks very much for listening. I'll be back next week, and I hope you'll join me.
This is my show.
Hi, my name is Sarah, and I want to tell you about my podcast called Can I Offer You Some Feedback? I'm a business consultant and executive coach with over 20 years' experience in change management, leadership development, and naturally providing feedback to high performers. My podcast is for those of you who have a complicated relationship with feedback, whether giving, receiving, avoiding, or seeking. Feedback is essential for our development. In each episode, you'll hear from real people across industries with their ideas, perspectives, and best practices on feedback. I'll also be sharing business bites with you, simple explanations of organizational tools, management techniques, and leadership philosophies that will help you and your businesses thrive. You can listen to Can I Offer You Some Feedback on your favorite podcast app or learn more at evergreenpodcasts.com.